Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with World Cup football news. We're now just over a year away to the opening match in the sports premier event. World Cup host Qatar will play a still-to-be-determined opponent on November 21st, 2022. 32 teams, including five from Africa, will compete in Qatar. Some proud footballing nations have already qualified for the World Cup, including five-time world champion Brazil, four-time world champion Germany, and two-time world champion France, the reigning title holder. Other teams that have qualified for Qatar 2022 are two-time world champion Argentina, England, the 1966 champion, and Spain, the 2010 champion. Belgium, Croatia, Denmark, the Netherlands, Serbia, and Switzerland have also qualified. The World Cup's opening match will be played at the 60,000-seat Al Bayt Stadium. The stadium's project director, Nasser Al-Hajeri, tells Reuters the venue is almost complete.
We start here in 2014. So far, more than 7 years since we started, it was a desert here, completely a desert when we started. It took 7 years to get up and finish with this great, nice, one of the best, as we know, stadium in the world. This stadium capacity is more than 60,000. We almost ready, and hopefully in less than 2 weeks' time, 10 days, we will have Arab World Cup in the stadium, and at the same time opening the stadium.
Seven of Qatar's eight World Cup stadiums will feature cooling systems that will ensure clean, cool air regardless of the heat, pollen, or sandstorms that may be outside. Saud Ghani is a mechanical engineering professor at Qatar University.
Irrespective of the temperature outside, irrespective of the wind velocity outside, or if you have even a dust storm outside, inside the stadium will be maintained about 22, 23 degrees C, and with the best air quality in the whole of Doha.
Because of the heat in the Middle East, football's world governing body, FIFA, decided to move the World Cup from its traditional time slot and play it later in the year. Meanwhile, the 80,000-seat Lusail Stadium is scheduled to host the World Cup final next year. The stadium's project manager is Tamim El Abed.
The stadium is planned to host 10 matches during the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. That's 9 matches in the various stages plus the final, so 10 matches in total. So at the moment, the steel civil infrastructure works are 100% complete. The competitions area, which is comprised of the field of play where we're standing, the seating terraces, the facilities that go with that, such as the giant screens, the ribbons, the presentation studios, the venue operations center, those are 100% complete. What's left is to commission and gain approval for the systems that are required by the local fire authorities, so fire and life safety systems, in addition to the extensive data networks in the stadium that are demanded by multiple stakeholders, in addition to other electrical networks that control the multiple devices around a technologically rigged stadium such as this.
Tamim El Abed says the Lusail Stadium should be completed in December, with its first test event scheduled for January 2022. The stadium is scheduled to host the World Cup final on December 18th, 2022. Now, Qatar's labor system for building the World Cup stadiums has been strongly criticized, but Qatar's government has denied accusations by Amnesty International that thousands of migrant workers have been exploited. A report in the Guardian newspaper earlier this year said more than 6,500 migrant workers from India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka have died in Qatar since it won the World Cup hosting rights.
Coming up on the next Press Conference USA, host Carol Castiel talks with Cuba expert Professor Lillian Guerra from the University of Florida to discuss the latest crackdown by Havana against attempts by Cuban intellectuals, artists, and ordinary citizens calling for greater economic and political freedom. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Here in Washington, U.S. President Joe Biden says the United States is considering whether to keep some Americans from going to the Winter Olympics in China next year. The AP Sagar Magani reports.
International advocacy groups and some lawmakers have called for a symbolic diplomatic boycott of the Winter Games in Beijing over China's human rights abuses.
Something we're considering.
It would not affect the participation of American athletes in the Games, but rather would mean keeping high-level dignitaries away. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says there's no timeline for a decision.
Obviously, the Olympics are in February, and I want to give the president and the national security team a little space.
Sagar Magani, Washington. Washington.
Samson Omale joins us now with a big package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports action for this weekend with the announcement by the Confederation of African Football that the dates for the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 Africa Qualifiers Playoffs draw will be revealed after next week's CAF Executive Committee meeting in Cairo. The teams will be seeded according to the FIFA Coca-Cola ranking. The executive committee meeting will be held on the 25th of November 2021 on the eve of the extraordinary CAF General Assembly that will be hosted also in Cairo on Friday the 26th of November 2021. Staying with the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 Africa qualifiers, football governing body FIFA has given Ghana 3 days to respond to allegations of match fixing made against them by the South Africa Football Association after South Africa was eliminated from the 2022 World Cup qualifiers during the last group match with Ghana last Sunday. The president of the South African Football Association, Danny Jordan, claims there was a clear pattern of match manipulation during the World Cup qualifier against Ghana. This comes after SAFA filed a complaint with FIFA, the world football governing body, following the 1-0 loss to Ghana in a critical qualifier for next year's tournament in Qatar on Sunday. Ace Nkobo is a former South African referee.
What we have sought to do as a strategic objective of this task is to prove that there was a definite pattern of bias.
Our responsibility as SAFA National Association is to recognize first whether there's any bias, okay, that we can prove against our team. Two, we have to resist and expose such bias. And thirdly, is to report it to FIFA, any match manipulation involving our national teams or FIFA competitions.
Some of the Bafana players who were involved in the controversial encounter also gave their thoughts on the match.
Throughout the qualifiers, the ball boys did not have the balls in their hand. The balls were on the cones. But in this specific game, the ball boys had the balls in their hand, which was, you know, unheard of.
It felt like the game was rehearsed, like everybody knew what was going on, you know, from the referees to the players, the Ghanaian players, and to the ball boys even.
Ghana is not taking the allegation lying low, as the Football Federation president, Kurt Okraku, has described the allegation by the South African Football Association as baseless and frivolous.
And when you go into battles and you are outplayed, they were even lucky not to have conceded 5 goals in the first half. So you can see clearly, the South Africans keep shifting goalposts from being robbed by the referee to the match being manipulated by external or third parties, or the match being played by ball boys. I mean, it's important somebody will tell Danny, my good friend, that he must speak the truth to the South African people.
Jerome Ochere, Ghanaian sports journalist, also weighed in on the allegation.
Again, I feel that the South Africans are just being sore losers. I mean, they lost the game. If indeed you feel that a referee cheated you, the best contest is to go to FIFA. And if you have done that, why come back in the media and run a country down? It's important the FA has responded, and we will have to wait and see what they will send to FIFA and what FIFA's response will also be.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And now to Nigeria, where the country's Minister of Youth and Sports, Sunday Dare, has said that the Nigerian Football Federation will decide the fate of the Super Eagles head coach, Gernot Rohr, next week. Sunday Dare stated this on Thursday at a weekly ministerial briefing. According to the minister, Gernot Rohr's future with the Super Eagles will depend on the report to be submitted by the NFF in the coming days.
The NFF will receive a technical report that analyzes the game. And based on that, it will be subject to review and scrutiny, benchmarked, and thereafter they take a decision. Either about the players, either about the coaching staff or the technical crew. The ministry is waiting for that report from the NFF. What the report will contain, what it will recommend, I cannot say precisely. Before the end of the week, we'll have that report, and that report will touch on many areas. We know what the concerns are. We know what the worries are. The Super Eagles must qualify for Qatar 2020. We know the power of football, and we will do whatever is necessary.
Coach Gernot Rohr has come under heavy criticism following the Super Eagles' lackluster display in Tuesday's 1-1 draw against Cape Verde, which earned them a place in next year's playoff. The poor performance has led to football fans and sports journalists calling for his sack. Staying with the Super Eagles, former Manchester United striker Odion Ighalo has revealed that he did not part with any money before earning a recall to the national team amid allegations that he bribed Super Eagles officials. The Al-Shabaab star called time on his international career immediately after the 2019 African Cup of Nations, but Nigeria Football Federation boss Amaju Pinnick and manager Gernot Rohr mounted pressure on him to reverse his decision ahead of the recent 2022 World Cup qualifiers. 853 days after his last game for the Super Eagles, Odion Ighalo started for the three-time African champions in a 1-1 draw with Cape Verde on Tuesday, November 16th.
I've never, even when I was not in this position I am in my life and in my career, paid, not to talk of this position I am in my life, not in my career, and what I've done for my country with the national team, then I will not pay to come play. So the guy tried to defame my character, but I'm not the kind of guy that makes problem. If not, would have heard from a lawyer, but it is what it is. Everybody have their opinion about me. I don't care, but not to the extent you start saying about bribing, which is very bad, but I'm not going to go into that. The most important thing, I'm here to support the guys, and I'm really happy to be back.
In women's football, South Africa champions Mamelodi Sundowns Ladies will face Ghanaian outfit Hasaka's Ladies FC in the CAF Women's Champions League final on Friday evening after winning their semi-final on penalties on Monday night. The Ghanaian club booked a slot in the final showdown on Monday after beating Moroccan side AS FAR in the thrilling 2-1 win, whilst the South African opponent, Mamelodi Sundowns Ladies, eliminated Malabo Kings 5-4 on penalties after it ended goalless in regulation time to pick a meeting with the Hasmal Ladies. Jerry Shabalala, head coach of Mamelodi Sundowns Ladies FC of South Africa, has tipped his team to win the maiden edition of the CAF Women's Champions League against Hasaka Ladies of Ghana.
If you could watch, look back at Sundowns' record, we've played more than 3 years without losing a game. So we don't see ourselves losing anytime soon. So we just want to go all the way and become the first team to win CAF African Women's Championship.
Morocco's AS FAR on Thursday won the third place after beating Equatorial Guinea's Malabo Kings 3-1 at the 30 June Stadium in Cairo. Staying with football news, Frenchman Didier Gomez da Rosa will coach Mauritania at January's African Cup of Nations final in Cameroon. Didier Gomez da Rosa has coached several African clubs since the early 2010s, including Canon Sports da Garoua of Cameroon, Horoya AC of Guinea, Ismaili of Egypt, and Al Merrikh of Sudan. The Mauritanian team will play its second CAF finals in a row, which will take place from January the 9th to February the 6th, 2022 in Cameroon. Former Cameroon star Samuel Eto'o officially filed his candidacy for the presidency of the country's football federation, promising he will be the next president despite the cheating. Samuel Eto'o, a four-time African Footballer of the Year, was accompanied by a crowd of supporters as he submitted his bid at the Cameroonian Federation's headquarters in Yaoundé. The Uganda Baseball and Softball Association National Regional Series have entered the second quarter with action at the Gayaza Baseball Complex. With the aim of developing the game, the current competition is also being used to train and polish up coaches. Ugandan Baseball and Softball Association President Felix Okuye believes Uganda has the best baseball and softball to move from the current third and 42nd in Africa and world rankings to be the best.
These regional series are in such a way that every region hosts and then it also travels. So whichever region hosts, during the period of the hosting, we also induct people into the basic coaching skills, which we are calling the grassroots program, whereby people are in position to learn the basic skills on teaching people on how to play baseball and softball. And this is going to help us in building our capacity in terms of players.
New York City Marathon silver medalist Viola Lagarde has been at the forefront of championing for women's rights in the light of the death of 2015 world cross-country champion Agnes Girop. The 32-year-old 1,500-meter specialist is working alongside other elite female athletes to draw attention to gender-based violence in the wake of the murder of Agnes Girop.
So Adidas, my sponsors, have been really supportive through this Agnes Girop thing, and they have helped us with, you know, supported us through the Agnes Girop Foundation. So in memory of Agnes, they were able to get us a logo on our uniforms. So this is Agnes Girop. So this logo was just for Agnes specifically. We are running in her memory today. So we're working with other athletes like Joanne Chelimo, Mary Keitan, Abel Kipchumba, also Paris Chepchirchir. We're working together on that Agnes Girop Foundation. It's called Girop's Angels.
That's Kenyan athlete Viola Lagat. And thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy sports package.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross-country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K.
And let's also add Olympic champion to Joshua Cheptegei's athletic resume. Joshua won Olympic gold at 5,000 meters, as well as Olympic silver at 10,000 meters at this year's Tokyo Games. As a result, Cheptegei is one of the nominees for the 2021 World Athletics Male Athlete of the Year Award. Ugandans celebrated Joshua Cheptegei's Olympic title, as we hear now from Magume Davis Rakawinj in this 2021 Sunny Side of Sports highlight.
Cheptegei leads. It's Kimeli in second for Kenya and Paul Chelimo. Ready to pounce. Cheptegei has 110 metres to claim history for Uganda. The world record holder becomes the Olympic champion. At last, Joshua Cheptegei secures the gold he has craved for years. So many runs, so many thousands of kilometres. And after the near miss in the 10,000 metres, he's done it. He's climbed the mountain. Uganda's first champion over 5,000 metres. He's done it with his compatriot, He's done it with heart, he's done it with passion, and he's proven that as a world record holder, he can come and deliver under pressure when the times are irrelevant. What a night it's going to be in Uganda. Cheptegei has taken one of the ultimate crowns.
Indeed, there were jubilations in Kampala after Uganda's long-distance runner, Joshua Cheptegei, won his first gold at the Olympics. And he was visibly emotional after clocking 12 minutes and 58.15 seconds to win the 5,000 meters race in Tokyo, Japan, ahead of Canada's Ahmed Mohamed and American Paul Chelimo. The 5,000 meters win came after settling for silver in his favorite race, the 10,000 meters category. By winning two medals at the Olympics, the 10,000 meters and 5,000 meters world champion established himself as Uganda's best athlete and said he was relieved.
I always want to become the best. And that's the right mindset that I want to tell Ugandans, always strive to become the best. And I believed in myself, I was able to fight the confidence back. And when I was leading up to the 5K, I just knew the only way was just to go out, run my race and enjoy and be at peace. So to be at peace, I needed to be aggressive and, you know, tell myself that I can do it. And of course, thanks to the Ugandans that most of the Ugandans, I received so many messages on WhatsApp, on Twitter, and I could not respond to them because all of them are positive and I was saying, you are our man, we believe in you that you can do it. So that energy was really enough for me to win the gold. And when I crossed the finish line, I felt like I had never run, to be sincere with you. I just completed the race and I was not feeling any pains anywhere. The joy just overtook all the pains and, you know, all the worries, and I was now happy, and the setback of the silver was now gone, and I was headed for something great. Greatness now was just within me.
Cheptegei blamed bad weather and jet lag for failing to win gold in his favorite 10,000 meters category. But he praised his training partners, Stephen Chisa, who ran as pacemaker, and Jacob Kiplimo, the 10,000 meters Olympic bronze medalist, describing the tough race as, in two quotes, a battle they skillfully planned for.
You know, when you are going for a battle, when you are going for war, you don't know what your opponents are going to do. So for us, we are prepared in the best means ever, and we had worked as a team, because, you know, normally for us we always do a fast race, and by the time that the race is going to complete, nobody will be able to kick. But then this one, now we ran a slow race.
Jacob Kiplimo, the youngest ever Ugandan Olympian, when he ran the 5,000 meters heats in Rio as 15-year-old, posted a time of 27 minutes and 43.88 seconds to secure bronze at the Tokyo Games. Jacob says he's becoming a greater runner from each race he participates in.
It was my second time to be there in the Olympics. It was great. I think to me, this is now the beginning. I still have like 20 years from now again. We still have more things to come.
There were other elite male runners from Uganda, such as Ronald Musagara, competing in 1500 meters, and former Olympics marathon gold medalist Stephen Kiprotich, both failing to finish their races because of injuries. Overall, a combined 4 medals haul from the Uganda Olympics team pleased Uganda's president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni. Speaking at the occasion to welcome the Olympics team, Mr. Museveni said Uganda's unique geographical features highly contributed to Uganda's success.
In terms of the physical features of our country, Uganda has these high mountains and also the plateau, what you would call the lowlands. Now, these communities which live in the different areas have different potentials. And really, Uganda can become a very big sports country. Outcompete all these other people.
The president rewarded medalists with brand new vehicles and promised to support sports. Back to Joshua Cheptegei's heroics at the Olympics. Sports analyst Leon Senyange tells the Sunny Side of Sports that by winning two medals at the Olympics, Joshua Cheptegei cemented his position not only as Uganda's best, but arguably the best long-distance runner ever in Africa.
An Olympic medal
gold, regardless of the distance he was running, is what was missing in his resume. Now he has it. I think the biggest catch would be the 10K medal in 2024 if he actually gets there. But yes, as it is now, Joshua Cheptegei is the greatest athlete Uganda has had, and potentially one of the greatest athletes, long-distance runners that the world has been able to produce.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinyi in Kampala, Uganda.
I am Mukundani Albert, an African poet. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And I'm pleased to report African poet Albert has this poem for us in honor of Ugandan Olympic champion Joshua Cheptegei.
Cheptegei defines the power. Suddenly, time seems to rush abnormally. I don't want to believe, yet I have to. It pinches on me to this threat of the broader appeal. It dawns on me, thinking of this speed champion, 12:58:15. Oh, the national icon of men, 5,000-meter race. The perfect inspiration for years to come. The gold medalist of 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. The brilliant mix of fantastic tempo. Who can stand by these challenges? The umbilical cord to link with other tech actors. The wake-up call for Ugandan sports development. The interpreter of the power of Africa. The skilled profession for the rhythms of sports. Who can stand by this challenge?
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In American-style football, the New England Patriots clipped the wings of the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday night, 25-0. It was the fifth consecutive victory for the Patriots. The AP's Gary McKillops reports from Atlanta, Georgia.
Mac Jones passed to Nelson Aguilar for a 19-yard touchdown, and Nick Folk connected on four field goals as the New England Patriots defeated the Atlanta Falcons 25-0. Jones was 22 of 26 for 207 yards. The New England quarterback called it a good overall win.
It was a good team win, and the defense stepped up and played really well, and the goal was to score like one more point than the other team, and we were lucky enough to do that.
Folk's field goals were of 32, 44, 53, and 33 yards. Kyle Van Noy also scored on a 35-yard intercepted pass return. The Patriots' defense held the Falcons to 165 total yards and sacked Atlanta quarterback Matt Ryan four times. Gary McKillops, Atlanta.
Thanks, Gary. The game was a rematch of Super Bowl 51, during which the Patriots made the largest comeback in Super Bowl history. The Patriots overcame a 28-3 deficit to beat the Falcons in overtime, 34-28. That game in February 2017 is regarded by many media outlets as the best Super Bowl of all time. Meanwhile, Super Bowl 56 is scheduled for February 13th, 2022, near Los Angeles, California.
I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the November 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.